them in the area. The assessment claims there may be an opportunity to create a GDF Scientific Center of Excellence, which itself could generate significant visitor traffic and even become a tourism point of interest. For the Mablethorpe councillor and Labour leader on East Lindsay District Council, Tony Howard, NWS's promises on behalf of government are nothing more than a bribe. He said, suddenly they want us to have a nuclear dome and they are promising us railways, roads, local jobs. It's just 30 pieces of silver, a bribe. The idea that everyone is going to go from selling burgers in the summer to becoming nuclear experts and working on this site is ridiculous. There will be specialists brought in to do this work. He questions the very idea that nuclear energy is green, clean and safe at all, he said. We know very well in this area the dangers of nuclear. Every year we host children from Chernobyl who come to the seaside for a holiday. We are fully aware that if things go wrong at a site like this, they stay wrong permanently, and that does not sit well with trying to promote the town as a place with a super beach, which is wonderful for families. It jars, adding, we should be investing in solar, wind, desalination. This site would be perfect for that. Nuclear is a folly. Ken Smith of Guardians of East Coast is worried that the process of reaching a decision could take up to 15 years. He said, in that time, tourist investment will drain away. Why would you want to invest in a caravan park if you think a nuclear dump is going to be built next to it? This whole process should stop right now. As the tourist season in Mablethorpe begins, NWS appears to be spreading its bets, seeking other areas to come forward. Its Director for Community Engagement and Sitting Simon Hugh says the UK search for a suitable site is about engaging in dialogue with communities and building an understanding of what hosting a GDF might mean for them so that we can all make an informed decision. He asserted the previous process was very rigid and demanded decisions were made at set points and before all the information was available, claiming the new process allows communities to engage in a much more flexible way, allowing questions to be answered without commitment. Communities also have the option to withdraw from the process at any time and will have to give explicit consent before construction can commence. If the local community doesn't want it, it won't happen. Simon Hugh claimed, with over 60 years of legacy waste currently stored temporarily in surface sites around the country, developing a GDF is about delivering a safe, secure, and environmentally sound long-term solution that protects current and future generations, ensuring it works for the host community and the country as a whole.
This is IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. This is your host, Musa al-Bahadili, and you are now listening to the program Q&A on Islamic Beliefs. Joining us in the studio today is our dear friend and esteemed guest speaker, Sheikh Nur Muhammad, who is an Islamic researcher at the Seminary of Qum. Dear Sheikh, I welcome you and Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining us here again, dear Sheikh. Our question today has been sent in by a dear listener, and the question is as follows. On the Day of Judgment, how many different groups of people will there be? Meaning, how many different categories of people? Because we know some will be punished, some will be happy, some will be perhaps confused, and so on. According to some of the verses of the Quran, some say three different groups and others say two. So what is the correct number of groups on the Day of Judgment, dear Sheikh?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. You know that actually, if we go to the verses of Noble Quran and try to understand different verses talking about the Day of Judgment and the Day of Resurrection, we find out that we have two groups, you see?
Okay.
Because according to the verse of Noble Quran, some people considered to be righteous people or virtuous people, and some other groups, on the contrary, they go to the hell and they are not righteous people. Of course, this is a main categorization of the verses of Noble Quran and groups divided in, into the Day of Judgment. For example, let me share one of the verses of Noble Quran. People of the right, referring to the righteous people,
right,
and people of left, referring to the misguided and deviated people.
Right.
These are, as I said, main groups of the people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about. But we have some prominent group, which we call them as-sabiqun. Okay? They are a privileged group. They are maybe one of the best of the people from among the best groups among the people. Allah
right.
subhanahu wa ta'ala said that. والسابقون السابقون أولئك المقربون. And the foremost ones are the foremost ones. These are special groups from among the Ashab al-Yameen, distinguished group that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them a lot of privileges, okay, and
right.
reward. So basically, so if you look at the verse of Noble Quran from this perspective, actually we have three groups, okay?
Right.
وَكُنْتُمْ أَذْوَاجًا ثَلَاثًا. One of the verses of Noble Quran said that we have divided people into the three groups.
On the Day of Judgment or just generally?
You know, in the Day of Judgment, of course.
Right.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that we have divided them into the three groups. But basically, if we ignore these as-sabiqun, because they are most prominent people who actually have the privilege to be from among the foremost people.
Mm.
Basically speaking, generally speaking, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that we have two groups that, referring to the general masses of people, we have
right.
two groups. Some of them, they are from Ashab al-Shimal, they are left groups, and some other, they are from the, right groups.
Right. So, dear Sheikh, you've said now that according to the verses of the Holy Quran, the people on the Day of Judgment, they are two groups. And if you go even a little bit deeper in it, you realize that there are two groups, but in one group there are two other groups, so three groups in total.
Yes.
So the question that naturally arises here, these groups of people, do they also exist in this world while we are still alive? Is there a connection between these groups who are, we know there will be three or two on the Day of Judgment, with this world right now? Or is it just perhaps random?
Of course, it is not random, because what we witness and see in the Day of Judgment is actually what we practice in this world,
right.
in this material life. So in the Day of Judgment, we see and we can witness the purpose of what we have done in this world. I mean, the result what we have done in this world.
Right.
Because this was considered to be a kind of introduction for going to the Day of Judgment. So what we practice in this world, and I mean, but you know, what we practice and which kind of belief that we have, we see the result of that in the Day of Judgment.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs on IRIB English Radio. You can send your questions to englishradio@irib.ir.
So, even in this world, from the view of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have the three groups. Some people, and unfortunately most of the people, they are from among the Ashabu Shimal, maybe. They are from the left groups, left-hand groups.
Ones.
Yes, unfortunately. وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that the majority of people, they do not know, majority of people, they do not practice the right religion. And majority of them, they do not practice what they know. So, you see that even in this world, we see some people from the, you know, right group, and some people are considered to be from the left group. And of course, we have the prominent one is still in this world. So, because in the Day of Judgment is actually, you witness the what you have done, the result of that, we call it the Tajseemul A'mal. You see the embodiment of what you have done in this world. So we can claim that even in this world, we have these categorization of people. And of course, you see, if you go and, visit different people, you can
find...
It will
be kind of obvious which ones they are.
Yeah.
But the dangerous thing, Sheikh, a point to note, sorry for interrupting you, is we notice it in others, but do we notice it on ourselves if we are the righteous ones or we are the misguided ones?
بَلِ الْإِنسَانُ عَلَىٰ نَفْسِهِ بَصِيرَةٌ وَلَوْ أَلْقَى مَعَذِيرَةٌ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that the people are aware of their reality. They know from which group they are. Okay. Actually,
they know.
Sometimes maybe we pretend that, for example, I'm from this group, I'm from that group.
Exactly,
but actually, indeed, I know. We are aware that whether I'm from the left groups or whether I'm from the, right groups. I know that.
So does every single person know this, dear Sheikh? Because for Muslims, it is kind of easy to know this. You know, if you sin, you're a bad person. But for people who do not believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who are not Muslims, or at least they are not religious, do they also deep down in themselves know that they are wrong?
Of course, most of the people, they know. Most of the people, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that, بَلِ الْإِنسَانُ عَلَىٰ نَفْسِهِ بَصِيرًا
الْإنسان مطلقًا
Allah
general.
Didn't say that
yes.
بَلِ الْمُسْلِمْ عَلَىٰ نَفْسِهِ
Yes,
بَصِيرًا.
Only the Muslim, only Christian, the
human being.
Yes,
exactly. Human being, they have the fitrah, God-given nature. They
right.
have wisdom. You know, these are some powers embedded into the human being in order to distinguish between right and right. Okay, wrong.
Right.
So because of that, most of the people, they understand whether I practice what I know is good. Okay, suppose that I'm atheist. I have no belief, okay, in
right.
any religion. But I know that whether I practice what I know it is good, or I avoid what I know it is bad, or
right.
I do not do that. But of course, because I say that the most of people, because we have few people that are misguided in a way that they cannot distinguish between right and evil. Okay?
Right.
Because they are the wretched people. They are very, misguided people in a way that they cannot understand anything. And actually, they can see something vice versa. They are most evil people, okay? But unfortunately, they cannot understand that. Because we have some verses talking about these most misguided and deviated people.
Right. I guess, Sheikh, the question now is because accordance with this verse, and it is the truth, we accept that every single human being knows who they are deep down. If they are on the, if you call it Ahlul Yameen, the people of the right, the righteous people, or the people who are misguided, who will unfortunately end up in the hellfire. So the question, I guess, now is it possible that this fitrah, it can be changed? Because, yes, perhaps when they are children, they know right from wrong, but then they get raised in a particular way. If you're raised in a secular society, in a secular family, in an atheist family, or your friends, they're atheists, your teachers, they educate you in the ways of atheism and ilhad and all that stuff, then you can no longer differentiate if you are on the right or wrong. And we've seen this with people who are formerly religious. They say, I was in the wrong when I was religious. Now I'm in the right. So is it possible for this fitrah to change?
Of course, for the change of fitrah, to some extent, it is possible. As you mentioned, because of the environment of people, because of the bad, people around that individual, it is possible. Okay, right. That the fitrah would be changed. But still, we have the power of intellect. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has two kinds of guides for people. Hujjatan batina wa hujjatan dahira. Some proof which are prophets and imams.
Right.
They are,
the visible.
The visible one. Right. But the invisible one is within the human being. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala embedded in all human beings, which is an intellect of human being.
Right.
Okay, you still, you can think, you can understand. In a worse situation possible, you can reach sometime, for the most cases, you can recognize between right and evil.
Right.
You can understand whether this action is right or wrong. You can understand killing and murdering that innocent person is, it's totally wrong.
Right.
Everybody, every human being can understand that. You can understand respecting your neighbors, your parents is totally acceptable and it is right.
Right.
Okay. You can still understand practicing justice. Al-adala, justice to human being, to poor people is right. Many people can understand rights and evil. But unfortunately, the problem is in the power and willpower to practice that, okay? Whether you practice it or not, it is another story, okay?
Right.
But for recognition and understanding, they can still understand by nature, by God-given nature, which is fitrah, or by the power of intellect. And of course, in this time and era, we are living in the time of the, technology. You can easily check it out.
Easily.
Easily, right. you can contact many scholars, you can contact spiritual, people around the world, talking to them, understand whether this action is right or wrong. But as I said, the problem, unfortunately, is our willpower, al-irada, that sometimes we do not choose the rights and the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We want to, choose the rights and the path of Satan and our whimsical desires.
May Allah help us all be guided to the Sirat al-Mustaqim, the straight path, because it appears, dear Sheikh, it is very difficult to find this straight path nowadays. Because we do have this fitrah, but we do not listen to it, we ignore it, and some people do not use their intellect and minds, unfortunately.
As I said, the understanding and recognition of that is not very much difficult. The problem is in practicing that. But
right.
If we practice it for some times, we can easily, we become familiar with that, and we can gradually go to the right path, which is the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
May Allah grant us all this tawfiq. I would love to continue this discussion, dear Sheikh, but we are unfortunately out of time. I thank you for joining us today and for sharing with us your precious time, and also thank the dear listeners for tuning in. Until next time, fi amanillah.
Inna fil jannati nahran min laban. Inna fil jannati nahran min laban. Li Aliyin wa Husayn wa Hasan. Li Aliyin wa Husayn wa Hasan. Inna fil jannati nahran min laban. إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن كل من كان محبا لهم كل من كان محبا لهم يدخل الجنة من غير حزن يدخل الجنة من غير حزن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن
Food for thought.
Hello, everyone, and here is something worth contemplating upon in the words of the leader of the pious and the commander of the faithful, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him. The portals of repentance are open for everybody. Hence, repent to God sincerely. So that your Lord may forgive your sins.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Cultural news, social news, scientific news, artistic news. With delight.
Prince Art Exhibition chronicling nearly a century's worth of artistic achievements by a Chinese woodcarver has been unveiled in the city of Suzhou near Shanghai. The carved into wood exhibit features nearly 80 of Huang Yongyu's woodblocks and prints. Woodblock printing is a form of Chinese art dating back hundreds of years. In this form, patterns are carved out of thick sheets of wood to create a type of multi-layered surface. The ink is applied in various stages to print the image and its colors. The humble 98-year-old artist said during his years of practicing art, he learned that sincerity mattered more than technique. The exhibition was launched in collaboration between Suzhou Museum and the Beijing Fine Art Academy.
The lush green oasis near Sudan's capital, Khartoum, has turned into a haven for dozens of exotic bears from all over the world. The sanctuary shelters over 100 bears of 13 different species. Here, visitors can feed lovebirds, parakeets, rosella bears, and many more. The owner of the sanctuary says he trained the bears over the years to make them human-friendly. Akram Yahia says he has a passion for bears and enjoys it when people come around to see the sanctuary. The sanctuary, which is part of the Marshall Nature Reserve, is a welcome break for the people from their hectic life in Khartoum and nearby cities.
He tried to create an environment that doesn't exist in Khartoum. These environments exist in other parts of Sudan, such as in the west of Sudan, in the east of Sudan, in rainy areas. These areas have environments such as this one, and perhaps even more beautiful. He created this environment in Khartoum, where there is not nature at all.
Domestic and foreign tourists are allowed there only 2 to 3 hours a day. The limited hours are so that the bear's living environment is not disturbed. The owner built the 400-square-meter sanctuary 4 years ago. Over the years, he has added trees, garden, pond, and mist nozzles for cooling off against Sudan's scorching heat. Yahia says he wants to expand the reserve in the future. Indonesians have held a dazzling event to celebrate Vesak, a day traditionally observed by Buddhists in South Asia and Southeast Asia. People gathered at the sprawling Borobudur Temple in central Java and released lanterns into the sky. That's part of prayers marking the birth, enlightenment, and death of Buddha, a spiritual teacher who lived during the 6th century BC. The release of lanterns symbolizes letting go of negativity. The occasion lasts 3 days, which includes collecting holy water, sending off lanterns, and meditation. This year, the event was limited to some 1,200 people because of the coronavirus risk. Because of the outbreak of the pandemic, the ceremonies typically receive 20,000 people at the massive temple complex.
Tehran is hosting the 33rd International Book Fair in person for the first time after 2 years of lockdown as a result of COVID-19. This has caused enthusiasts to visit the fair for new titles. Saman Kujuri has the story.
The 33rd Tehran International Book Fair is underway in the Iranian capital, with over 1,700 Iranian as well as 170 foreign publishers attending the event. It is the first time after 2 years of lockdown as a result of the COVID-19 that the Tehran International Book Fair is being held both in person and online. As the top Iranian book event, the fair has millions of visitors every year, including thousands of university students, scholars, and their families.
I'm very happy to see that the book fair has once again opened its doors to the visitors in person after 2 years of lockdown as a result of the COVID-19. I love reading books. To me, the Tehran Book Fair is my favorite event.
For me, the book fair is an opportunity to get my kids familiar with books. I try to take them to different book fairs so as to teach them that book is a necessity in our life. I want to raise my children with the love for book reading.
A huge number of national visitors, along with international exhibitors from different countries, make this event one of the unique cultural events. The book fair is a good opportunity for publishers to showcase their new products.
We have designed our educational books based on augmented reality, which is an interactive experience of a real-world environment where the objects that reside in the real world are enhanced by computer-generated perceptual information, and students can watch educational films related to any specific topic. It will help students better understand educational topics.
It is said that books give a soul to the universe, wings to the mind, flight to the imagination, and life to everything. And this is exactly what the book fair tries to help you achieve.
By reading books, we feel healthy is the motto of the 33rd edition of the Tehran International Book Fair, which will be running through May 21st at Imam Khomeini's Musalla. Saman Kujuri, Tehran.
A group of over a dozen penguins has been released back to the sea after being given a second chance to live.
The condition of these specimens, which fortunately could be reinserted, is very common to find. They are animals that appear stranded on the coast, found with malnutrition, dehydration, hypothermia, and a high degree of parasitism. Specialists call this condition the stranded penguin syndrome.
The penguins were rescued and taken to the Mondo Marino Foundation, where they were rehabilitated. They were kept warm and were fed liquids until they could eat fish again. Before their release, blood and other samples were taken, and a chip was implanted to track them. One of the penguins was a southern rock hopper, which is a species listed as endangered. Biologists at a rescue center say there are many reasons why penguins get stranded and malnourished. These include overfishing, global warming, and other environmental changes.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
Thousands of people crowd into the British city of Norwich to watch a 2-kilometer-long string of dominoes topple, while winding through town. Some 7,500 breeze blocks were set up for the event. The dominoes slinked through street buildings, windows, and even climbed up stairs and trees. The toppling lasted 30 minutes. The moving sculpture was installed across the city with the help of some 200 volunteers. The artistic director said the work was chosen partly because it was a spectacle and both disrupted the city and engaged its people.
There's a sense of anticipation that goes with the work. You would have seen people around town at the moment. Everybody's asking, what's going on? And then when they realise what it is, then there's this sense of, oh, and when are you going to knock it over? So that it's a sculpture also that gets destroyed in many ways, and that's really part of the work as well. I mean, I like to think about it as a child almost playing with the city. You know, they're setting everything up, and we all know they're going to knock it down at some point, and that's fun.
Daniel Bryan said he was excited about the project because it looked like a child had taken over the city with the joy of knocking down dominoes. The cascading dominoes ran through two cities, eventually ending at the site of Norfolk and Norwich Festival of Arts. The organizers say the goal of the installation was to bring unity to the community. Chilean paleontologists unearthed a rare fully intact fossil of what is known as a sea dragon discovered from a melting glacier deep in Patagonia.
It is the first complete and excavated ichthyosaur that has been found in Chile. It also corresponds to one of the most complete fossils ever found on the planet for the Cretaceous period. It is the only pregnant ichthyosaur that's been found on the planet from the era between 129 and 139 million years ago. So it's incredibly important.
The 4-meter-long fossil is nicknamed Fiona and swam the seas some 250 million years ago. Scientists say this specimen will help them understand this species and its embryonic development. The expedition lasted over a month because of the remote nature of the find in the Patagonian glaciers. Paleontologists had to make a 10-hour hike just to get to the site. They also had to camp in extreme weather conditions while maneuvering tricky, rocky surfaces. But collecting and transporting the fossil was a whole other story.
As we went down excavating, weakening the rock, we realized the skeleton was mostly complete, so much that the bones were pushed inwards and we had to make five blocks of approximately 200 kilos each to move it.
The blocks were then airlifted to the Rio Seco Natural History Museum in southern Chile to be prepared for exhibition. The fossil was first discovered by Ruth Pedro more than a decade ago, but because of the site's harsh terrain, its extraction was a complex challenge. Scientists also discovered over 20 other specimens of the same species during the expedition, bringing the total found in the glacier area to 100.
Stopping by and listening to street musicians usually changes our mood for the rest of the day. The experience would be different if one lies under the instrument while it is being played. And that's exactly what a pianist in America has done. Colin Huggins, a busker, wheels his grand piano more than a half a mile from a mini storage to New York's Washington Square Park. He lets people lie down under the instrument and feel the vibrations from the claviers in their bodies. Colin says he wants to help people recover emotionally from the intense disconnect they had faced during COVID lockdowns.
I've always wanted to accommodate feelings in the best way possible, and I want to do it with music, and this is the best way I figure out how to do it. Maybe someday I'll figure out a way to do it even better, and I won't need to push this piano here. But as of now, this is the best I've got.
New York was one of the hardest hit cities by COVID in the U.S. Like other places, the major city imposed lockdowns and tough curbs to contain the virus. Despite that, Colin continued playing on the streets, frequently to an audience of zero. He says he strongly believes that everything will be okay. Cambodian fishermen aiming for small fish were shocked to see the surprise catch tied to their hook. This creature was nothing but an endangered giant freshwater stingray, which had swallowed the fishermen's catch. It was 4 meters long and weighed 180 kilos. The female leviathan is one of the rarest species of fish in Southeast Asia. Therefore, a team of international experts helped unhook the stingray to release it back to the waters unharmed.
All right, so we've just released our giant stingray back into the wild. She's kind of hanging out on the surface of the river here. It's amazing to be able to see her swimming around in her natural habitat and to have participated in the release of this giant stingray today.
The giant stingray was caught in the Mekong River, an important habitat for different species of fish, including huge catfish and barb. However, experts say the river's underwater ecosystem has been damaged by massive plastic wastes. Environmentalists constantly warn that building dams on the Mekong River is also destroying its large fish stock.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful, dear brothers and sisters, salam and peace to all of you who are listening to today's special from IRIB English Radio. Our topic is the Shia of Imam Sadiq, peace be upon him.
Inna fil jannati nahran min laban. Inna fil jannati nahran min laban. Li Aliin wa Husayn wa Hasan.
Before speaking about our topic, let's look at the calendar. Yes, today, Saturday, is the 19th of the month of Shawwal, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 31st of Ordibehisht, 1401 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 21st of May, 2022 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. Let's listen to a holy verse of chapter Isra, verse 71.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. يوم ندعو كل أناس بإمامهم فمن أوتي كتابه بيمينه فأولئك يقرؤون كتابهم ولا يظلمون فتيلا.
Mention, O Muhammad, the day we will call forth every people with their record of deeds. Then whoever is given his record in his right hand, those will read their records, and injustice will not be done to them, even as much as a thread inside the date seed.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
This holy verse makes allusions to one of the divine blessings given to men, and then it refers to the heavy responsibilities which run parallel to these blessings and are upon him. At first, the Holy Quran points to the issue of leadership and its role in the course of human destiny, implying that on the hereafter day, he shall call each people along with their imams or leaders. That is, those people who in any age accepted the call of their contemporary prophets and their emissaries will be with their leaders.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid.
Now we come back to our topic. Who are the Shia? The fifth Imam of the school of Ahlul Bayt, Imam Muhammad al-Baqir, once told his student by the name of Jabir. The Imam said, "Is it enough for a person to embellish himself as our Shia follower by professing love for us, the Ahlul Bayt? Nay, by Allah, a person is not our follower unless he fears Allah and obeys him. Our followers are only recognized, O Jabir, by their humility, submission, honesty, abundant praise of Allah, fasting, prayer, goodness to their parents, attention to the poor, debtors and orphans living nearby, speaking of the truth, recitation of the Quran, holding back their tongues except for good words, and trustworthiness towards one's relatives in all affairs." Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bin astain. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with certain definitions and characteristics of typical Shi'i people as formulated by the sixth infallible Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam. First of all, it must be indicated that the sixth infallible Imam, whose kunya or patronymic was Abu Abdullah, and his given name was Ja'far, and his most widely famous title was As-Sadiq, that is the truthful, was born in the year 83 according to Hijra calendar in Medina. His father was the fifth infallible Imam Muhammad al-Baqir alayhi salam, and his mother was Umm Farveh. What's indicated in this regard is that among the infallible Imams, the two infallible Imams, that is the fifth infallible Imam Muhammad al-Baqir alayhi salam, and particularly the sixth infallible Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam, had some opportunities in their life and times to define basic and fundamental Islamic rituals and definitions for people, as well as educating many students. Those students or those pupils who enjoyed the presence later on made great names in the Islamic civilization. According to the teachings of the sixth infallible Imam, the Shi'is are invited to show cooperation and sympathy to one another. At the same time, it's indicated in one of the teachings of the sixth infallible Imam to one of his companions known by the patronymic Ibn Jundab, in that anybody who walks and makes a move in order to help his religious brother, his brother in faith, and his brother in Islam, is like a person who is trotting the distance between As-Safa and Al-Marwa mounts in Mecca, or like a person who is martyred in the Battle of Badr and Uhud.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio. Today's special.
On the continuation of this program, today's special, we listen a little about the characteristics of a true Shia. Imam Muhammad al-Baqir, peace be upon him, once said to Muyassir, "O Muyassir, should I not describe to you who our Shia or true followers are?" Muyassir replied, "But of course, may I be sacrificed for you, O Imam." The Imam continued, "Unquestionably, they are Shia like a fortified stronghold. Their hearts are places that preserves the truth given to them, such as secrets and private information, and are those who have a firm, dignified intelligence. They do not spread rumors that they are told by others and are not strict, severe people, nor are they people who show off. During the night time, they are as monks, that they stay up in the night, busy in prayer and worship, while during the daytime they are as lions, active, energetic, and involved in the activities of the world and their community." In this concise tradition, there are seven characteristics mentioned which one must possess in order to be classified as a Shia. Truly a veiled and hidden or comprehensive world of subject matter and responsibilities has been given to us in this saying. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammadin nabiyil ummi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim. Life lessons between two great responsibilities. We are speaking about the characteristics of the Shia, or who is a true Shia. Imam Sadiq, peace be upon him, said, "A faithful believer is always anxious concerning two things. for his past sins and how Allah will treat him for these sins and for his remaining life and the uncertainty about how he will spend it. The most manifest sign of belief is feeling responsibility both for what has transpired and for the duties and obligations that should be fulfilled. Those who possess these two feelings will always think about compensation for past negligence as well as finding the best possible way for using future opportunities. These thoughts are instrumental in the continuous development and progress of a man or a nation.
Why are you a follower of Ahlul Bayt? What responses would you give? I am Shia because when I look at Tawheed and the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I find the most complete definition of Tawheed, the most complete belief in Tawheed to be in the school of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. When you open books like Nahjul Balagha and you hear Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam speak about Allah, he gives you the best understanding of God out there in the universe. I challenge anyone to bring a book like Nahjul Balagha, like the teachings of Ahlul Bayt that describe to you Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Once Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam was asked to describe Allah in two words. What's Tawheed? The Imam alayhi salam beautifully stated, "At-tawheedu an la tatawahhama wal-'adlu an la tattahima." You want me to describe Tawheed to you? Tawheed, don't subject God to the limits of your imagination. Because many people have done that. Allah is above anything that even comes to your mind. Allah is the infinite. Allah is the unlimited. Now look at some Muslim books these days, my dear brothers and sisters. They have ascribed physical qualities to God. This is Bukhari. It tells you that on the day of judgment, Allah will put his leg in hell, in Jahannam, such that Jahannam says, enough, enough, enough. I've been full now. This is in Bukhari. Millions of Muslims have believed in this throughout the centuries. But in the school of Ahlul Bayt, the Imams alayhim as-salam give us a very lofty, exalted image of who God is. Don't subject him to the limits of your imagination. And in fact, in Nahj al-Balagha, the Imam alayhi salam teaches us true tawheed even means you negate the sifat, nafyu sifati an. You negate the attributes from God. What does that mean? Allah is one essence. Don't think God has parts. God has an essence, and then part of it is knowledge, part of it is power, part of it is all these attributes that we read in the Quran. No, the Imam alayhi salam says, you want to really be a true muwahhid? You want to not subject God to any limitations? Negate these attributes. Allah is knowledge. Allah is power. That's the most beautiful description that you will find in any school of thought. That is why I'm a Shia. Because by being a Shia, I have the best description of what it means to worship the true one Lord.
That was all for today's special. Inshallah, we will speak more about this interesting topic, and that is, who is a true Shia? Thank you very much for joining us. Inshallah, we meet you soon. So may Allah bless all of you, and we leave you in Allah's protection. Have a nice time.
La ilaha illallah, Allahu Rabbi, Muhammad Nabi. علي إمامي لا فتى إلا علي علي إمامي علي إمامي علي إمامي لا إله إلا الله الله ربي محمد نبي علي إمامي لا فتى إلا علي علي إمامي علي إمامي علي إمامي
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.